We open our Bibles again this morning in the book of Judges in the chapter number 6. Sixth chapter of the book of Judges, commencing to read at the verse number 23. Judges chapter 6 and the verse number 23. Let us follow the reading of God's precious word this morning together. Let's hear the word of the Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah, the Abiezrite. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal, that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon the son of Joash hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also had gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with a fleece, let it now be dry, only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Amen. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou art a gracious God. We thank thee that thou dost love thy people. We thank thee that thou dost love to give your people victory in the hour of battle. We thank thee, our God, that thou art a gracious and a good God that cares and looks after your people. And Father, although at times the valley experience may be a dark one, we thank thee that, yea, though I walk through the valley, we thank thee, our God, you never leave us there. For we bless it, Lord Jesus. We bless thee that thou art with us. And thy rod and thy staff, they comfort us. We pray that you'll bless our meditation upon thy word. Speak to our hearts today. Help us, our God, to understand what thou art saying. Help us to follow out after thee and do what thou wouldst have us do. But we have sung this hymn this morning, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, for thou art the potter and we're just the clay. Mold us and make us after your will while we're waiting yielded. Still, and O God, grant that we are yielded today. And as we're still before thee, Lord, we might be just be still and know that thou art God. Hear and answer our prayer. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for his sake and glory. Amen. In our Sabbath mornings, we have been meditating upon God's word and seeking to find a word from the Lord. Indeed, and God has spoken to us through the valley experiences. You remember we came with David to the valley of Elah. And the mighty victory that God gave David there in that valley and the lessons that we were taught even as we visited. And then we thought of Jehoshaphat and the valley of Berakah. And once again we find that the Lord indeed undertook as Jehoshaphat spread the need out before God and how that God answered his prayer. And then we came thirdly to the valley of Baca. A place indeed, a valley which is known as the valley of the mulberry trees or the fountains, and yet the valley of tears. And how that God is able to bottle our tears, yea, even to wipe away all tears from our eyes. And that God will bring his people through in the valley of Baca, the place of refreshment, and even the place of rejoicing. And then we were thinking about the valley of Eshcol. How that God there, in a wonderful, mighty deliverance, how that God indeed showed his power. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey, and how that God, even in that valley, God once again spoke to our hearts as God testified of his goodness through Caleb and through Joshua, who wholly followed the Lord. And we came to the valley of Rephaim. And there we stood in the valley of Rephaim, and once again we saw the mighty hand of God, the valley of battles, and how that battle had to go on and had to continue. It wasn't only one battle there, but there were many battles. And how that God's people have to fight the world and the flesh and the devil, and as we as children of God are faced with great giants in the valley of conflict. But this morning we're coming to, first of all, the valley of Achor. And there we find in the 7th chapter of the book of Joshua, we find a valley that is spoken, because this valley of Achor is situated near Jericho in the land of Judah. And it means the valley of trouble. The valley of trouble. It was here in this valley on one occasion that the scene was very solemn. It was very serious. We find indeed that Joshua had led the children of Israel across the river Jordan. They came into the promised land. Moses is dead. God's servant has been taken home to glory, and God buried him. And God had given Joshua a great promise that he would be with him, that God would give him mighty deliverance, and God had encouraged Joshua's heart. And I see the children of Israel as they start into the land of their possession, the land of promise. And God has promised to encourage them and bless them. And they encountered the enemy first of all. The first city they came to was Jericho. It was a mighty city. There were great walls around that city. And humanly speaking, they were too big for any man to conquer, to take, but not too big for God. And so God, once again, in a very wonderful way, God gave a mighty deliverance. He saved Rahab and her family, as God had promised he would do. Because she put the scarlet cord in the window after seeking to deliver the servants of the Lord when the men of Jericho came to seek to take their lives. And so we find that there was a great battle there, but the children of Israel had a tremendous victory. It was given of God, and the walls came tumbling down. And you know, you and I have had many a Jericho to experience in our lives. But thank God, with God, we are more than conquerors. And God can give us the victory again and again. And so they're encouraged. And the next little place was Ai. And we find indeed as they were coming to Ai, they sent those to view out Ai and said, listen, it really doesn't take many people. This is a small place. It's not like Jericho. They're not mighty walls like Jericho. And so all it'll take is just 2,000 to 3,000 men. You don't really need to send up many of your soldiers. You can rest them. And so they were full of self-confidence. Somehow they feel, you know, that they had a big part in the Battle of Jericho. And they got self-confident. They were confident in the flesh. And so they put that small contingent of troops and they sent them up, 3,000 men up there to Ai. But it wasn't simple this time. For the men of Ai came out and opposed them, and we find that 36 of the children of Israel were slain. And instead of conquering this little city of Ai, we find that they ran away from them. There was a disastrous defeat, and the people at once were so full of confidence. Now they're distressed. Now they're in perplexity. Whenever Joshua hears this, he falls on his face. He rents his clothes. Joshua chapter 7, verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell on the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord, until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust upon their heads. In other words, were mourning over the defeat. Why has God brought this into their lives? They were so full of confidence, they were so full of courage, and now we find instead of this, they're in distress, they're in perplexity, they're in defeat, and they're mourning there before the ark of God. Verse 7, and Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought the people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Now we find that Joshua's regretting that he has ever gone for God because of the defeat. And he said, Lord, what shall we say? What shall we say to the Canaanites? Whenever they hear this, they're going to circle us around and they're going to come against us and they're going to take us into bondage. And God, what shall we say concerning the name of Israel? And God, what shall we say concerning thy name? What wilt thou do unto thy great name? And so there we see God's servant, and he's in perplexity and despair. God says to him, Joshua, you're in the situation you are today because Israel has sinned. Not only had they sinned, my friend, and the self-confidence and the confidence of the flesh, that they felt there was no need for to seek the guidance of God. They didn't ask God how many to send up. He listened to the rest of the army, and the spies just sent up 2,000 to 3,000. This is not a great city, and they relied upon the flesh. Yes, they sinned that way. But he says, Israel, verse number 11, Israel has sinned, and they have transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and they have stolen and assembled also, and they have put this even among their own stuff. And what God is saying, he puts his finger upon the problem, and he said, listen, there is a defeat here, and it is a mysterious defeat as far as you are concerned, but as far as I am concerned, it's not mysterious. The reason for this defeat is simple. There is sin in the camp, and because of the sin in the camp, God says, I have withdrawn my presence from thee. And God says, you have lain down in defeat. And he said, of course, verse number 10, the Lord said, get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? And you see, Israel and the elders, and we find that Joshua, they were mourning because of the defeat. And God says to him, listen, there's no use lying there. There's something you have to do. There's sin in the camp. And because of the sin in the camp, that sin has paralyzed your effectiveness, and you're not going to be able to move forward. You're not going to be able to go into victory. You're not going to be able to move forward in power because of the sin that is in the camp. And the sin has got to be judged, and the sin has got to be put away. The sin has got to be dealt with. Israel hath sinned. And because of it, they weren't able to move forward. And friend, before God, you and I will never be able to advance successfully for God until our sin is judged. And there's sin in our hearts, and that sin must be confessed, that sin must be dealt with, that sin must be put away. And that was the problem here. Yes, Joshua could lie on his face before God, and God said, listen, Joshua, there's no use lying. You've got to get up. You've got to deal with the sin. You've got to deal with the sin that's amongst you, the people of God, because Israel has sinned. You see, before they went into battle, God said to the children of Israel, they weren't to take anything out of that city of Jericho. Yes, the silver and the gold, it was for the Lord. They were to take it and they were to give it to God, friend. It was for God. But they were not to take of anything because the city was accursed. But you know, Achan, he decided to take the silver and the gold for himself. And he took a Babylonish garment, friend, and he took it, let me tell you, and he hid it in his tent. And he dug in the tent there where he was lying. He dug a hole and he put the silver and he put the gold into it. And then he covered it over with a Babylonish garment. And God said to him, Joshua, there's sin here. And you're not going to be able to face the enemy, and you're not going to be able to move forward, and you're not going to be able to advance until the sin is dealt with. And you go on down to this chapter 7, verse 20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and I took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. What a tragedy. Because he disobeyed God. But friend, this disobedience was willful. It wasn't that Achan didn't know what he was doing. This was a willful sin. This was something he could not say, but I'm ignorant of this. I didn't know what God said. I didn't know that I shouldn't take the silver. I shouldn't take the gold. And my friend, he was stealing the silver and gold because the silver and gold was for the Lord. And he put his hand upon that which was God's. There's many of God's children doing that. There's many of God's children stealing from God. Because God requires us to give of our tithe to the Lord, friend. And we're putting our hand upon that which is God's. It is not ours. And we're keeping back, we're holding back from God that which is rightfully His. And friend, we're hiding it in our tent. And we're using it for our own satisfaction. And God knows exactly. God knew. Listen, whenever the Lord saw the widow and she walked into the house of the Lord and she put the mite into the box, let me tell you, the Lord knew exactly she gave everything. And friend, you and I can't hide from God. And if you're withholding from God this morning, I want to tell you, God knows exactly what you're doing. If you're stealing from God this morning, God knows exactly what you're doing. Because God, thou God, seest me. And there was a deliberate disobedience against God. And let me tell you, my friend, Achan knew exactly what he was doing because he hid it in the tent. And the very fact that he hid it in the tent was this. He was conscious what he was doing. was wrong. If it wasn't wrong, why did he hide it? He was conscious what he was doing was wrong. And yet he deliberately and defiantly was willing, my friend, to do in knowledge against what God had said. And he dug the hole and he hid it in the tent in defiance against God. And God saw it. He said to Joshua, Joshua, there's sin in the camp. And Joshua, you've got to deal with it. Joshua, you and the elders have got to deal with it. You can't walk away from it. And he told Joshua to bring them by families, by tribes, and then by families. And one by one they came, friend. The tribes came, and then house by house they came, and family by family they came. And it came to Achan. And he says, Achan, give glory to God. And friend, Achan knew he couldn't. Achan knew the sin that was in his heart. He says, I pray thee, verse 19, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to God, of the God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell him now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And even when he said those words, friend, hide it not from me, let me tell you, God was striking Achan's conscience because that's exactly what he had done. He had hid the stuff. Let us all remember this fact this morning, friend, that God knows our hearts today. And there's not one of us in this gathering, preacher or hearer alike, there's not one of us can hide from God. And God also says, be not deceived, for God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. And Achan had sowed, friends, in deceit and defiance and disobedience. And now he's going to reap. We find here that Achan has God's judgment meted out. But there's a sad story here, friend. Because not only did Achan suffer, his family did as well. You see, we don't live to our own. You and I don't live to ourselves, friend. Somehow people say, you know, I'm an island and I can do whatever I like. And I can say whatever I like and I can hurt whoever I like. And it doesn't matter, nobody will stop me. But friend, you're only fooling yourself if you have that thought this morning. Because I want to tell you this. God not only judged Achan, but his family. And you read the story that God has recorded for us. And there in the valley of Achor we find this. Look at verse 23. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and they brought them unto Joshua and unto the children of Israel, and they laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garments, and the gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that they had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? You see, friend, Achor had troubled the people of God. He had hurt the people of God. 36 men have died because that this man, Achan, had taken of the accursed thing. And God's servant said, why hast thou troubled us? And he said this, the Lord shall trouble thee this day. And so we find that the tables are turned, and there in the valley of Achor, we find that they stoned him and his family and all that he had, friend. They stoned them to death, and then they took the gold and the silver and all that was left, and they burnt it with fire. And all that was left of Achan and all that he had was a heap of ashes. And God says, listen, put up the stones on the top of them. Cover the ashes. Verse 26, and they raised over him a great heap of stones until this day, and the anger, or the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. And now God's in the midst of his people. Why? Because the sin was judged. And the sin was put away. What is this saying to us this morning? There's a warning here for every one of us, friend. Listen, be careful what sin. Be careful what sin you harbor in your heart. And maybe you have in your heart this morning a sin that nobody knows anything about. Listen, you've hid it. Just like the wedge of gold and the wedge of silver and the Babylonish garment. And you have hid that sin in your heart. And you're harboring it in your heart this morning, a sin against God, because all of our sins against God. And you're harboring that sin in your heart. And you be careful. Because I'll tell you, that sin will destroy you. And not only will it destroy you, friend, but it can destroy your family too. It can destroy your family too. And many a man and many a woman has harbored a sin in their heart, friend, of hatred or anger or bitterness. And they've harbored in their heart, friend. And let me tell you, they have embittered and they've hated others. And they've brought it into their heart and they've brought it into their home and they've harbored it there. And they've hid it in the tent. And God has to judge it. Because our sin has got to be dealt with and put away. Let me say something to encourage you this morning. Let me tell you, it was known the Valley of Achor because it was the valley here. It was the place of trouble. But let me tell you, it's not the only mention of Achor in the scriptures. Because let me show you, it's mentioned twice again. And this is for encouragement. Because praise God, the sin was dealt with. And when the sin was dealt with, thank God the trouble was dealt with. And when the trouble is dealt with, thank God there's blessing. Turn in the book of Isaiah chapter 65. And in Isaiah chapter 65, you'll find that it's mentioned once again. And this is what it says in this great chapter, Isaiah chapter 65. And it says there in verse number 10, and Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herd to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. It's the place of rest. And whenever the trouble is dealt with, when God says to come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, what does he promise us then? He says, and I will give you rest when you deal with the problems, when you deal with the trouble, when you deal with the heartache, and you bring it to the Lord, friend, and you get it to the blood. Praise God, you can lie down in the place of the Valley of Achor. For it becomes a valley of rest. But there's something else. Because turn to the book of Hosea. And when you come to the book of Hosea chapter 2, it says this concerning when Israel is restored and The Lord's love for his unfaithful people, and then Israel's restored in the second chapter of Hosea chapter 2. Look at verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness, and shall speak comfortably unto her. Verse 15. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. Thank God, the last time that Achor is mentioned in the Word of God, it has turned from the valley of trouble into something more wonderful. Glory to God, it's the door of hope. And God says, I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. You know, in our journey through this old earth and on our way home to glory, we have to face, and we have got to pass through the valley of trouble, but thank God, there's always hope. You know, sometimes God has to chasten his people because of their sin. But I want to tell you, when God deals with his children, friend, remember this, there's always an afterward. There's a door of hope. And maybe you're going through the valley of trouble this morning, and perhaps you feel that there is no hope. Let me tell you, Achor not only means the valley of trouble, but listen, there's a door of hope here. When you look to the Lord. And when you honestly and openly confess your sin, the Word of God says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let me show you the afterwards. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, friend, listen. This is what it says in verse number 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. And sometimes God has to chasten us, and sometimes God chastens us because of our sin, our own personal sin. And God has to chasten us, and God does that in love, friend. Or maybe we're so self-sufficient. Maybe it's not some open sin, but maybe it's self-confidence. We're trying to go on we started in the spirit, and now we're moving in the flesh. And my God has to bring us down, and God has to bring us into the valley of trouble. But praise God, there's a door of hope here. Verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, there's the afterward with God, friend. There's the door of hope. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised or trained thereby. Will you and I yield to the Lord this morning and say, God, I'm going through the valley of trouble this morning. And God, perhaps, maybe you could say, I don't know what's happening in my life. I don't know why this experience has come into my life. Listen, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Thank God, God knows what he's doing. Thank God, the potter knows what he's doing with the clay. And you let the Lord mold you. And you let the Lord make you. That brings us to the hymn we sang this morning. Have thine own way, Lord. Don't be rebellious against the leading of God, friend. Don't be rebellious against what God is doing in your life. And when God is teaching you something in your life, oh, that we might be trained thereby. Oh, that God will take our lives and that God would mold us according to his will while we are yielded, waiting and still. And oh, that we might wait on the Lord and say, oh, God, in the valley of trouble, oh, that we might see the door of hope. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness that we might unto them which are exercised thereby, with mercy and with judgment, the web of time he wove. Friend, place your life this morning in the Savior's hands, and let the Lord lead, and let the Lord guide, and let the Lord go before you. Because the next valley we visit And we read about it this morning in Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 6. It's the valley of deliverance. Thank God he'll bring us through. The Lord will deliver. He delivers again. And there in the valley of Jezreel, God gives a mighty, glorious deliverance unto his people. Oh, Gideon was just a young fella that faced great opposition. And yet God promised to be with him. And God promised his presence, and God promised the guidance of his providence. And there in the valley of Jezreel, it became the valley of deliverance. I wanted to go into that this morning, but time is away and we couldn't deal with it properly. But friend, as we come to that, we pray that God, even this morning, will just remind us the valley of trouble, the valley of Achor, can become the door of hope. But remember how it happens. The sin has got to be dealt with. The sin has got to be confessed. The sin has got to be brought to the blood. The sin has got to be repented of. And the sin had got to be judged. Then they went up to Ai. And God says, get back up to Ai. And God says, I'm going with you. And God give them deliverance. May God help us to do so for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the precious, lovely name of your Son, we thank thee for the mighty, mighty deliverance that thou didst give your people at the cross. We thank thee for the great battle that was fought at Calvary, where our blessed Savior died and shed his precious blood that our sins might be blotted out. We thank thee, our God, that even though we have to pass through the valley of Achor, the valley of trouble, and Lord, at times thou hast to chasten us. For man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Yet we thank thee that the valley of Achor becomes the door of hope. For we thank thee that the Lord will bring his people through and give his people rest. Pray for those who are heavy laden this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray that they might take that burden and lay it at your feet. And for any today that have the burden of sin, oh God, may that sin be confessed and turned away from and repented of. And the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, cleanseth from all sin. Hear and answer our prayer, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. And for his sake, amen.